Hello. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Majority. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the AARP magazine from April and May. And I'm going to start today with an article about James Taylor. The honey-voiced legend riffs on kicking bad habits and the joy of chilling. A new album. I learned many of the songs on American Standard, popular earlier works from Broadway and film, at my mother and father's knee, then interpreted them on the guitar. These tunes are, to me, as sophisticated as pop music can get. Of course, I'm quoting him. Sine qua non, I dedicated the album that way to my wife, Caroline. It's Latin. It means without which there's nothing. Instrumental to success. I think my parents' main contribution was that they insisted we each choose an instrument and study it. At first, mine was the cello. My older brother, Alex, played the violin, reluctantly. My sister, Kate, and my brother, Livingston, both played the piano. So we did make a lot of music among us. Breakshot youth. In a breakshot in billiards, things go from order to chaos in an instant. It seems like an apt metaphor for what happened to my family in the 60s. Our father was a very successful physician and academic, and we had a wonderful early childhood in North Carolina. Yet, instead of going to college, three of the five of us ended up in a psychiatric hospital and essentially dropped out. It's been a mystery to me why, at this stage of mid to late adolescence, did we run off the rails? I pieced it together later. My father was a very functional alcoholic, as was his father, and it always gets to a point where it's not sustainable anymore. That happened at about the same time that my parents' marriage ended. I came out of it with only one path forward, and that was music. Sobering up. At 35, I managed to get clean in 12-step programs, Narcotics Anonymous and then AA. You find yourself in an unbelievable mess, having hurt people you love. All these grim things. But enough was positive in my life on the other side of the river to get me across. His twin boys. They just turned 19. He also has an older daughter and a son. I'm hypervigilant, always trying to see what their state is. But even though they're at the same prep school that I dropped out of, they're having a totally different experience, and I'm happy to say are extremely resilient and tough. To me, they're a miracle, not at all as fragile as I was. I tell young people that the three things that will enslave you are an addiction, being in debt, and having children before you're ready to settle down and support them. How sweet it is. Yay, I am happy. You learn as you get older to roll with it and that nothing lasts forever. If you're in a bad stretch, things can get better. What makes me happy now is quiet time, free time, a day off, an afternoon off. I love my wife and family, and I like to spend time with them. When I was younger, I wanted to go out and do things and engage with people and travel. That sort of restless energy to get out and engage in the world diminishes over time. Again, that was thoughts from James Taylor. Now, healthy you. Now see here, 9 reasons you should visit an eye doctor this year, which I'm sure all of you know well. It should have been a run-of-the-mill appointment. My vision was getting blurrier, and it was becoming more difficult to focus, says Patrick Thomas, 55, an engineer from Huntsville, Alabama. It was quite aggravating. After giving Thompson a comprehensive dilated eye exam, his optometrist, Barbara Horn, adjusted his glasses prescription. She also found something else. He had pigment dispersion syndrome, in which the pigment from the iris flakes off and floats around in the eye. PDS is a precursor for glaucoma, a leading cause of blindness in people 60 and older. Thank goodness for his blurry vision, or we would never have known, she adds. Most of us assume it's natural for our eyesight to go as we age, and that notion can be dangerous. No one's eyes just get bad with age, and you don't just lose vision without a reason for it, said Douglas Wisner, M.D., an ophthalmologist at Wills Eye Hospital in Philadelphia. Meaning, don't accept blurriness, spots, flashes, or floaters. Get yourself checked out. I urge anyone over 50 to get an annual checkup, notes Charlotte Yeh, M.D., Chief Medical Officer of AARP Services. An annual dilated eye exam can help diagnose conditions like glaucoma and age-related macular degeneration before they are severe. Here are 9 reasons to make eye checkups a priority. 1. There's more to your eye than meets the eye. With dilation, drops added to the eye widen the pupil, allowing your doctor to view the inside of the eye, including the retina, lens, and optic nerve, and look for age-related macular degeneration, glaucoma, and melanomas. Examining an undilated eye is like looking through a keyhole into a room. Dilation opens the door completely so you can see all the corners of the room, says optometrist Laura D. Meglio, an instructor at Wilmer Eye Institute at Johns Hopkins Medicine in Baltimore. Eyes are a window into your health. This is 2. The eye is the only place in the body where you can directly visualize nerves and blood vessels, Wisner explains. Eye doctors scan your eye for signs of hypertension, high cholesterol, and diabetes, and can sometimes be the first to detect a problem. Heart disease still remains one of the biggest causes of morbidity and mortality in our country, and if we pick up on it early enough, we can get on top of it and prevent damage, he said. 3. Try a new alternative to dilation. Dilation is included in the price of your eye exam. For an extra fee, though, some private practices offer testing on optos retinal imaging devices. These machines capture a wide view of the retina, even with undilated eyes, DiMeglio says. 4. You can stop switching glasses to read the paper. Around age 40, people naturally begin to develop presbyopia, a condition in which the lens of the eye loses its ability to change shape and accommodate for different distances. You can't read things up close anymore, so you hold the materials at an arm's distance. But by age 55, most can't struggle through it. Their arm just isn't long enough anymore. DiMeglio notes, drugstore readers might suffice, but talk to your doctor about prescription readers or progressive lenses, which can improve depth perception. Progressives take some getting used to, so inform your doctor if you're at risk for falls. 5. The latest contacts could change the way you see. New materials can improve comfort and let contacts solve more than one vision issue at a time. For example, AccuView Oasis with Transitions, the first light adaptive contact lens, also has UV blocking qualities. Bausch & Lomb Ultra Multifocus corrects both astigmatism and presbyopia. Alcon Dailies Total One, a one-day comfort lens, uses technology to provide a moist cushion. 6, you may be able to ditch wearing glasses forever. Cataracts, a clouding of the lens of the eye, can develop so slowly that you may not notice the difference initially. For some, cataracts begin to grow in their 50s, By age 80, more than half of Americans have had one. But cataract surgery can liberate some people from glasses altogether, Weisner says. The procedure is quick, 1 hour. Downtime is short, no more than a few days. And new techniques mean that some people won't need post-op eye drops. Number 7. You don't need to drive with glare. If night driving is becoming increasingly challenging, ask about anti-reflexive lenses for your glasses. Horn suggests, if your eyes are healthy with no or minimum cataracts, anti-reflective lenses are the most common solution, she says. Those floaters could signal something bigger. This is number 8. With aging, the gel-like substance in the eyes, called the vitreous, begins to shrink. It may even separate from the retina, explains Elena Roth, MD, an ophthalmologist with the University of Miami Health System. One symptom of this might be seeing floaters and flashes in your vision. Most of the time, you won't need to be treated for floaters, but you will need to be closely followed by your doctor to watch for a retinal tear, a complication that can lead to vision loss. The good news is that those floaters usually stop bothering you eventually. After 3 to 6 months, the brain learns to adjust and accommodate them, Roth said. And finally, 9, if you have diabetes, see your eye doc. It's critical. Nearly 60% of people with diabetes skip their yearly eye exam, according to research from the Wills Eye Hospital. Diabetes is a disease of blood vessels. In the eyes, it can cause bleeding and leaking of fluid in the retina, which can cause loss of vision, Weisner says. If detected early, some of this loss can be reversed, but the more profound the damage, the harder it is to correct. That's why an annual dilated exam is crucial. What's going on in your eyes is a direct reflection of what's happening in your kidneys, he says. If an exam shows diabetes is not well controlled, you have an opportunity to take steps to preserve your eyesight and the rest of your body. Now, there's a sidebar article here that says, great stuff we can see coming. These advances in eye care are here, or maybe just around the bend. Eye drops as good as glasses? Israeli company Oasis Pharmaceuticals currently has an eye drop, CSF1, in phase 2 clinical trials that channels light to improve or correct near vision or for those with presbyopia. Headsets that boost low vision. Iris Vision, a Wi-Fi capable headset, is available now for people who have low vision. It costs nearly $3,000, but can be paid for over time. And contacts that treat allergies. In clinical trials, an antihistamine-releasing contact lens was found to control itchy, watery eyes due to allergies, as well as simultaneously correcting your vision. Now let's look at an article about Money Saver. And last week I read a couple of these, and today we're going to finish this article. It says, just say no. Chances are a tempting financial come-on is sitting in your mailbox or on your voicemail. Here are some to reject immediately. No questions asked. This deal expires soon. The catch. Car salespeople will often offer a claim that a deal is good for just one day. That's hooey. They're preying on your fear of missing out, says Brian Bale, a financial planner in Waukesha, Wisconsin. The best route to a good price is comparison shopping. Besides, they've got your number. If you walk, they're likely to phone you with a better offer. Big returns on your money. The catch. No investment can guarantee a high return, period. If that's the claim, it's bogus. Financial planner Diane Pearson of Wexford, Pennsylvania, notes that a relative heard a radio ad promising 11% interest on an annuity. It turned out that the 11% interest was only for the first month. Then it dropped to 3%. One item discount, the catch. The coupon makes you feel like you're getting such a good deal, Bale said. Most folks, though, don't stop at that one discounted item and instead spend more on impulsive purchases. If a store truly has a product you want, use your coupon to buy only that, then pretend you hear the fire alarm and head for the exit. Now we have a money-saving article about a gift for her daughter, Jean Klatsky, to the rescue. The problem. It's the money question parents ask me most frequently. Whose needs come first, my children's or my own? This time I heard it from Tony Crespo, 63, a social services worker in East Yaphawk, New York. Tony's 26-year-old daughter, Courtney, whom she raised solely after a divorce, is halfway through a medical residency in Boston. Her education, financed in great part by scholarships, Courtney seems on a path to financial security. Still, Tony would like to leave her some money. Slated to retire in June, she is due an $800 a month pension, but her plan has an uncommon option. If Tony instead takes about $600 a month, Courtney could inherit that same benefit for life. I want to do this for her, Tony told me. Please help a mother feel she has thought this through. The advice. To see whether Tony can help her daughter without sabotaging herself, I consulted two experts, New York City-based financial advisor Stacy Francis and Marcia McDonald Mantell, author of the new book, What's the Deal with Social Security for Women? We needed to answer some questions first. One, does Tony have enough money for retirement? It appears so. Her mortgage is paid off. She has her pension. She'll start taking Social Security in June, when she'll have to choose either a benefit based on her late ex-husband's earnings record or a benefit based on her own. Tony should take the survivor's benefit, about $2,230 a month, since it now exceeds her retirement benefit. But she collects her survivor's benefit over the years. Her own potential work benefit will continue to grow, and she's permitted to switch later on. So, Mantell tells Tony to check with Social Security near age 70 to see whether her own retirement benefit would have become a better choice. Two, would $200 a month in pension income make a difference to Tony? Based on the lean way she lives now, no. But Tony, who has $20,000 in the bank and no investments, doesn't want to stay put. She would like to be closer to her daughter. That might raise her expenses. $200 a month to someone who has $500,000 saved, that's not such a big deal, Francis says. But for Tony, this is pretty much it, plus Social Security. $200 is half a car payment or a medical bill or groceries. It likely means much more in her hands than in her daughter's. I see this so often, Francis adds. She doesn't realize that the best way of taking care of her daughter is making sure she herself is financially secure. Three, is there an alternative way to help Courtney? Yes. Since Tony thinks she can forego the $200 a month, Francis advises her to invest that amount monthly in a balanced mutual fund, one holding both stocks and bonds. Assuming returns of 6% a year, it could be worth about $200,000 in three decades. It's a huge gift, Francis says. What's wonderful is that if, God forbid, she needs it, her daughter will want her to use it. The outcome. Tony's going with the advice of the experts. The survivor benefit plus her full pension is very close to what she was earning in her working life, so she's thrilled. and the idea of an invested nest egg to be left to Courtney, or worst case, used by Tony, had never occurred to her. That's exactly what I'm going to do, she notes. Now we have another Money Saver article. This is by Doug Shadell. Outsmart fraud. Please don't get emotional. To scam you, crooks have figured out how to bypass your thinking brain. I recently testified as an expert witness in a criminal trial involving an 80-year-old woman who lost her entire life savings in a scam. The victim had received a credible-looking letter saying she had won $2.8 million in a Spanish lottery. She responded as the letter instructed and was contacted by a personable young man from Jamaica who confirmed the wonderful news but told her there were a few fees she had to pay before collecting her winnings. In time, he convinced her to transfer more than $1 million to win a big prize that, of course, didn't exist. When I arrived the night before my testimony, the prosecutor told me that a surprising number of potential jurors had made clear they thought the victim in these types of fraud cases bears some of the responsibility for falling for the crime. With all the warnings in the news about fraud, a target should be smart enough to know better, several said while being questioned. My task was to help counter that thinking among the selected jurors by describing the clever persuasion tactics that scammers use to defraud people and why it is the perpetrator, not the victim, who bears the responsibility for the crime. The prosecutor's heads up left me in a huff. This all-too-common blame-the-victim attitude not only demonstrates a lack of compassion for fraud victims, but also a dangerous lack of understanding of how cons work. Put simply, scams are 90% about emotion and 10% about intellect, which is why smart people get defrauded all the time. Among the victims my AARP colleagues and I have interviewed of late are college professors, senior partners in law firms, PhDs in psychology, and even retired judges. Swindlers are winning the day because they know exactly how to turn off your intellect and put you in an emotional, irrational state of mind and keep you there. Yet many of us still believe we can think our way out of the clutches of an expert scammer. Here's why that's false. There is a large body of research in psychology known as effective forecasting. It shows, among other things, how we humans are horrible at predicting how strong emotions affect our behavior. This lack of self-awareness creates a false notion that you can handle yourself logically in most any situation. But generally, that isn't so. Con artists know this. So for decades, they've told us that their number one objective is to get the target into a heightened emotional state they refer to as ether. As one convicted swindler told us just before reporting to prison, I like to keep my victims up in the altitude of ether, because if they ever dropped down into the valley of logic, I had lost them. Ether can cause the thinking part of the brain, the neocortex, to be literally swamped by the emotional part. Think about the first time you fell in love. All you could do was dream about the beloved other, right? Were you thinking clearly? Did you make any dumb mistakes during this period? Now recall a time when someone you loved died unexpectedly, or you were suddenly fired from a job. Such negative events can also distort our ability to process information clearly. With the thinking part of the brain short-circuited, intelligence no longer matters much. One of the most commonly used tactics to get victims under the ether is known as phantom riches. A phantom is something you desperately want, though almost never get. It's like a sudden gift of $2.8 million or the arrival of your dream partner on a dating website. Scammers dangle that phantom in front of victims and make them believe that their dreams have finally come true. This is precisely why there has been an explosion of romance scams over the past few years. Fraudsters flock to dating websites and describe this as fishing in a barrel. Because of all the lonely men and women desperate to find their soulmate online, I recall interviewing a couple of years ago a romance scammer who lives in Lagos, Nigeria. I asked him, how many of the people you targeted online were lonely? Every single one of them, he said. How do we defend against such blatant manipulation of our emotions? I love the ancient Greek story of the Odyssey, particularly the scene in which the hero, Odysseus, is headed home after the Trojan War and comes upon the sirens. No one who hears their seductive singing can resist approaching them, but all sailors who do so wreck their ships and die. Odysseus, also called Ulysses, wants to experience the sound of the sirens and survive, so he tells his men to plug their ears and tie him to the ship's mast to prevent him from impulsively swimming to his death. From this Greek myth comes the modern term Ulysses Pact. It is a written agreement, usually relating to advanced medical directives, that binds patients to a future course of action so they can't make an ill-advised emotional decision later. Perhaps we need a Ulysses Pact for consumers when it comes to a sales pitch and random phone calls. Consider it the Money Pact. Never make a financial decision at the time you hear the pitch. Always wait 24 to 48 hours. Once your emotions subside, the neocortex thinking power kicks in again, and you have more than a fighting chance of making the right decisions. You can also get notified about the latest scams and receive tips on how to protect yourself at aarp.org/fraudwatchnetwork. Now, we have a sidebar here, and I won't be able to read them all, but we'll get a good start. Weapons of mass deception. Scammers use tactics such as these to turn off your rational brain and help you act based on your emotions instead. 1. Phantom riches. Swindlers dangle an offer of something you deeply want but rarely get, a sweepstakes win, for example, or a no-risk investment with huge returns, or your dream lover suddenly appearing. Fear. It's one of the strongest drivers of emotion. Threats of an IRS audit, a prison stay, a total computer meltdown, or a grandchild in trouble can spark instant emotion-driven misjudgments. Well, folks, we've run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. I hope these comments have helped. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.